Hallelujah. How many are anticipating the revival? I hope every day. And I pray that you're praying for me. I've been begging a bunch of you to sponsor me. So have anybody ever come up to you and say, "Would you sponsor me for this? Will you sponsor me for the revival?" And you get my toes in the door. I'll make sure I pull every one of you in there with me. Hallelujah. Hey, and if you get there before me, pull me in. Hallelujah. I'm riding on whatever Dave does. Hallelujah. So I think we need to sponsor him too. Hallelujah. Because if God gets his way, and I'm sure he will, that'll be where the nativity, I believe, the birthplace will take place. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We're happy. We're full of joy, but we're also happy. Glory to God. Why? Because we got the victory. Why? Because the Word says so. And that's enough. Hallelujah. But long, way before your deductive reasoning comes to a conclusive end that everything is all right, sit down and just, as a matter of fact, say this is what the Word of God says. So I'll just rest on the Word until it convinces me. Hallelujah. Did you notice when Jesus had his sword fight with Satan, and that's what it was? Satan, who knows the Word, should tell you something about sometimes when certain words come to you, they can be used against you. And when you're prophesied over, you should know the Spirit. But, you know, the enemy didn't come with blatant sin with Jesus. He came at him with the Word. It is written. Well, Jesus said, yeah, it's written all right, but the Word, the Rhema Word, is this. So he was quoting the Logos, which was the Word of God, and it is anointed. But something to do with the Rhema that Jesus was talking out of was as a revelatory, on the spot, anointed, present by the Holy Spirit. So if you're in a sword fight, the one you want to be carrying is the one that's anointed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because he's going to come to you, and he's going to try to convince you if you are headed in the right direction. He'll even pull up scripture. He'll try to get you in works. He'll do everything he possibly can. We're headed towards a revival. This is our mandate. The same one that some other people got is to receive a spiritual outpouring. A spiritual outpouring where the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear. But what we're after is this. The real fruit of it is that thousands and thousands get born again. Hallelujah. Now, you can't hardly wrap your mind around those confessions because they sound so fantastic that your mind can't hardly go there. So that's why we have Friday nights. We just confess those things before the Lord. And we're not trying to convince Him. He's already convinced. We're doing our dead level best to convince ourselves. That's what confession does. It puts you in line with what God's Word says. So we will have that because it's scheduled to come. When is it? What's the calendar date on it? I don't know that he even has a calendar date on it. He's just waiting for us to get real good and ready. Hallelujah. And get that believability factor. It's a believability factor. It's how much you really can believe it. And it's a spiritual outpouring. And when I say sponsor me, please pray for me. I can tell you this, as you well know, that nothing short of the spiritual, which is, interprets out to us, it's a real easy formula where you put it on the top, draw a line through it, or put it under, make a chemistry formula of it, or an equation, a fraction. It's one thing. It's prayer. It's prayer. Because it takes that place for Him to transition you, He said in Corinthians, from glory to glory, even by that Spirit. Well, there has to be a place where the Holy Spirit can take your spirit and transition it over and endow you with everything positionally that you already are. The convincing, it's not just a convincing process. It's not just an awakening, like an epiphany that comes to you like, oh, hey, we really are free. And we, if revelation alone was enough, we'd probably have it. But it has to go along with revelation and Him bringing your spirit to a place of glory. Like you said, that we are being changed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit. What Spirit? That Spirit that He's placed within us. Hallelujah. To change us. Hallelujah. But make no mistake about it. This is what our mandate is. It's a spiritual outpouring. Now, we don't look at other ministries and say, well, if they don't have the same call, they're less than. Do we? No way. In fact, there's a whole spirit particularly designed. If you start running real fast in one direction, and Satan can't stop you with the baser sort of things, like the things of the flesh that impede and stop most ministries, really, it's a real shame. Because when He stops a ministry at adultery or fornication or some kind of lasciviousness, or when He even takes them out by misappropriation of funds or those kinds of things, don't ever think that He doesn't love those people. And don't ever think that He can't restore them. He can. And He does. And He has. But that's not even the threshold of the place of revival and miracles. That's just the common spirits that takes out most everybody. And so when those guys are taken out by those kinds of things, they've made some kind of advancement, and He had to send something, and their flesh broke down up underneath it because they weren't being able to spend the time for renewal. But all of you that are praying, understand this, and let me drill it into you again. What we're wanting to receive and what we've mandated, it'll come by no other way but by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Now, like I was saying, if you turn around and look at another ministry, they got to feed the poor or do this or anything. You just praise God and worship God like all get out for what they're called to do. For what they're called to do. I was called up on a line, and Pastor Dave said to me, because he gave a, you know how he is. I wonder where I get it from. He'll give 45 minutes to just say something that seemed like it would have took you two minutes. But nevertheless, you got the whole thing. But he talked about a spirit that came to him, and he called it Mr. Impersonation. It impersonated God so close that had he not had a real strong base of praying in tongues, he wouldn't have got past it. He'd have fell to it. It at first approached him on a lot of things that people just will... You won't even think twice about it. It really hit him hard in Hawaii when a man was healed of blindness in his meetings. And the guy that persecuted his ministry so strong that he kept people out of his... was a pastor. Persecuted his ministry with his words so strong that he kept people out of the meetings that particular summer or winter, whatever time he was over there. And a guy that was from that guy's church came. I think it was from his church. It somehow had some relationship to him. And that guy got healed in the ministry in that service. One of the services, his eyes opened up. One or both. And Pastor Dave said when he got in the car that night to driven home, it was so glorious. You know, you're just floating. You're just floating on the anointing. You're pickled in it. And then God uses you. And he said, God began to speak to him. And he began to say, see how much I love you, son. I just love you so much. And he was like, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. He said, You see, when that man came there tonight, I went out there and touched his eyes. This may not have been verbatim, but it was the essence. He said, I healed him. And I healed him because I wanted the people to know this guy. I wanted him to know that you really were. You know, that you really were my chosen. And he said, it just felt like God. And then God, the truth, showed up and said this, it'll be a cold day in hell before I'll ever come and heal somebody on the account of trying to vindicate somebody's reputation. I healed him because my son bore in his body his stripes 2,000 years ago. And that's the only reason why I healed him. Not to justify you, but to know that he was healed through my son. Hallelujah. He said, my God, that thing, it tried it 2 or 3 times. It was so seductive. You know, us looking at it when somebody's beat it would say, oh, I could have seen that. That us seen that. No, if you hadn't have been praying in tongues, you'd have sucked it up just like anybody else. Well, there's a spirit that is, it's meant that if we get too far out there, it'll come and tell us we're the only ones. It'll tell us, and it'll do it by real good deductive reasoning, like who's doing this and who's doing that. And are they praying, you know, are they doing this? Listen, he called me up. He said, this one's coming after you too, because you got to see. Here's the thing I told that guy that was leaving the church. And he said, well, God's going to probably raise up a revival in Immokalee, but it probably won't be through this bunch. I said, he's got to do the same thing no matter where he starts. He's got to send the same bunch. If he starts at ground zero, he's got to send the same bunch through the same college. It's called a college of mortification. It's called a college of dying. It's called a college of doctrine, of true doctrine. And they've got to get past themselves, their uglies, and everybody's uglies around them. You're not even fit for revival until you know. People go to church and say, you know, I just want to come in, drive my car, park, go in. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Cry and leave. I don't want to know about the uglies. They are in every church. Surprisingly, they're here. But when you know the idiosyncrasies and the uglies, and you can get past them because you've prayed, and you know that people around you are striving for the same place we're going in. Hallelujah. And a lot of that's got to be knocked off of us. He said, can you get past it? I was under the anointing and I was shaking like a leaf. And I said, yes, sir. By His grace, I can get past it. I can have... This is why I ask you to pray. Pray for me. Are you on an ego trip? No. I'm telling you, He's got so many tricks up His sleeve. It cannot be combated by no other way except through the wisdom of God. We look at people. It doesn't matter who they are, what their ministry is. We just thank God for what they're doing. All we can do is this. We know what our mandate is. It's a spiritual outpouring. And it will not be arrived at any other means except through prayer. and fasting and a strong doctrine of the Word of God. He cannot come even through works. I said this last week, and it wasn't a correction necessarily. It was only a clarification. You could start a feeding program that'd feed the poor, and it still wouldn't cause revival. In fact, if it was started outside of revival, our mandate, all it would do would be a deterrent. It'd be a deterrent. Because when you're having people, listen, and this isn't no slap, including me, when you're already fighting all of hell to get into prayer, we only got one other thing around here, and it's not a program, it's part of the church, and that's youth. Somebody will come in, sometimes they'll think, God bless you. You know, if we could do anything for you, we'd help you start a band and an orchestra. I tell them, hey, I like it is right now. It's wonderful. We got, be quiet, because one, we've learned that sound and music is not where worship comes from. When they were in the catacombs of Rome, and they were worshiping Him, and they were growing at innumerable mounts. Who strummed the strings that caused the first church to go into places where revival raged? Listen, music can bring presence. It can open up your spirit. But it is not the prerequisite. Your born-again nature was built with 10 strings, 12 strings. It had it's all that it ever needs right inside. So if anybody shut things down, in fact, sometimes music is noise to me. It's noise. But I like what we're doing. I like even when Matt shuts things down for a little while. And he does it by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Just to give you time, just to refresh yourself in the Holy Spirit. And then we go right back in. And it's really wonderful. Well, we got Holy Ghost people coming up, Marcia and Harry and people that... But listen, you talk about deterrence and all kinds of things. And listen, it doesn't mean that we have arrived. Doesn't mean it at all. Because wherever anybody's at, they're following, if they're on this walk, they're following the instruction of the Lord for their church. But the joy of the Lord is just coming in here and worshiping God, isn't it? Yeah. Just coming in here and worshiping God. I have never had one time for me to say, Matt, put on such and such, and him tell me, Pastor, Terry McCallman's mad right now, and he's not going to sing. Put on a... what's that husband and wife team? Kimberly and Alberto, Matt, put on such and such. No, they didn't show up for service. They've married a wife, or they bought an oxen, or they're going to go prove their... Believe me, when teams come together, there's a whole set of devils that fights them. And I've watched it in my brother's churches. I mean, they are fought vehemently. Vehemently. If anything's fault. I love you, most of you, too much to even try to start a worship team. I like it the way it is right now. Let's just keep praying. Hallelujah. But if we did anything, feeding program or anything right now, it'd just be a deterrent. But those devils, they fear. We don't have to make a comparison like, okay, somebody else is not doing this. Hey, I thank God for anybody that does anything. But this is our part. This is our part. This is all I know. Pray. And feeding 10 million people won't bring revival. But prayer will bring revival. The transition, those are good works and those are wonderful things. Keep them alive until the blind can see and the lame can walk and the deaf can hear and the dumb can speak. Hallelujah. Are we having a good time or what? Pray. And again, I say pray. Sister Barbara says, I know. I know. Hallelujah. Romans 8. Let's just see if we can do anything there. We tried Sunday and we couldn't, but we were going another direction Sunday. I think we're trying to get to the end of Romans tonight. We were trying to start, and we were trying to backpedal, start in Romans Sunday, and maybe we'll go there this Sunday and go back into 7. 7's so powerful. This is so filled with every morsel, every scripture is so filled with life. If I touch one of them, it just sends me in that direction. So just pray for me. Would you just stretch your faith this way and just pray for me right now? Father, I receive their prayers. I'm nothing of myself, but I'm all things through you. I can do all things, rather, through you. So I thank you and praise you for that grace. It is sufficient. Receive the nurturing of your word. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, like I said, we're going to try to get over here, 37, 8, 9. That's really where we want to wind up. And I'll apologize beforehand because some of this came right at the end of the prayer day. I began to write things down and go into stuff. So I don't have a lot on it, but I have enough. But I know this, just starting at chapter 8, those of you that have been around, have been through the Born Again Trail, been through schooling on this, have read Romans enough times, you know that the process of simulating a book brings forth the meditation process, and then you can understand beginning and endings of subject matter. And that's the only way that you can really know what the author was saying. That's the only way possible. But when he comes to the beginning of 8, he's had a tremendous argument in 7. And every time that he refers, see here again, you just have to say, trust me on this. And then you say, well, okay, I'll give you a temporary license. If you haven't heard this before, you just give me a temporary license, and then I can give you volumes of tapes to listen to. 8 is a crescendo. Verse 1 of a tremendous argument in 7 that he makes of a position. Paul was taking the personification, first person proxy of all the Jews that had been schooled and raised under the law. He was in all essence standing as an Old Testament individual and making an argument of what the law was to the Jewish nation. And he himself was describing himself as an Old Testament, prior to Christ, under the law, fixed under the law, proxy of all of God was to the Israelites, and how that he used them as a client nation. So when he refers in 7 to flesh, he's not talking about the flesh as in the body of the flesh or the deeds of the flesh, like you're fighting urges to sin, you know, the body, the deeds of the body that it refers to in chapter 8. He's talking about a positional truth of everyone that's not yet born again. When he talks about the flesh, he concludes chapter 7 by saying, so therefore with the mind, couldn't even say spirit because there was no born-again spirit to be had prior to 8. So with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin and death. So he was in a pickle. He was really in a horrible state as an Old Testament individual prior to Christ. He was saying, the things that I want to do, boy, preachers have gotten mileages off of that. But believe me, and if it tipsy-turvies your understanding for just a little bit, and again, give me just a little license and we got volumes on it. Paul was not describing a Christian having a hard time with his flesh. He wasn't. He wasn't describing a Christian having a bad hair day, saying the things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing. He was trying to describe a man under the law that had the condemnation of a flesh nature that could not keep the law because he was not yet born again. And so as a result, he was describing a horrible war that went on. And he said, the things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. The things that I want to do, I can't find myself. I can't find it in myself. He said, there's a law that's present. This law keeps cranking out. It's cranking out. It's a dynamo inside of me. It's cranking out evil, and I don't like it. Why? Because, Paul, you're not yet born again, and not him per se, but standing there prior to Christ. But when he gets to 8, he said he's standing in a judicial statement as a lawyer would and says this, this is what has been declared. You're no longer in the flesh if you've been born again. There is therefore now no condemning sentence. And that again has been really taken out of context. Well, I'm not under condemnation. I know if you've asked forgiveness, but that's not in context. What he's saying is this, there is no condemning sentence. There's no law of the Spirit now that's cranking out as a dynamo of sin, keeping you under a place of duress or arrest. Your spirit is not shackled because you have a sin nature. That law has been broken, and he who has been born again is free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So every time he refers to flesh in 7, he's referring to that position prior to Christ. And every time he's referring to flesh here in 8, he's talking about that we've been set free by this new law, which was the law of spirit and life. Hallelujah. And there's like 10 volumes just to get you to that place. But the Holy Spirit did a decent job of capitalizing that for us. Let's look verse 9. But ye are not of the flesh. Why? How could you say that? I just said a bad word. No, you're not in the flesh. Why? You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And ages won't give us time to teach on small S's and big S's, meaning the divine Spirit versus or in conjunction with the little Spirit, which is your born-again nature. But that's peppered through here, and it really doesn't start talking about you until later in this chapter. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Well, my body drove me to church, so it's not dead. The positional truth is your body's dead. As far as God is concerned, he had to declare your body because you got born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. By the way, quick footnote. I don't care who you hear on TV or who they are. The Jews don't have a separate covenant with God. They must be born again. They've got to be born again. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Every man's got to be born again. You've got to come under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So he says here that if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You got born again in your spirit. Your soul is progressively being saved under the nurturing process of the Word of God. But your body, the only thing that God could do with your body, present tense, is declare it dead, meaning it really doesn't have a voice to speak unless you allow it. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, He's given us a catalyst to get ready for revival. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, these are the infirmities that he's about to talk about in 26. The dying process of a church or an age of people or anybody going forward has got to go through one college. It's called the dying process. But don't be afraid, little one. He's there with you. And not only that, He hasn't asked you to do it of yourself. He's given you a spirit, a nature like His, that infused by the Holy Spirit and given the time. This is why I say there's no other way. There's no other way. You can, by the anointing, you can sit down and you can have a feeding program, and God will absolutely bless it. And it is ordained of God. How many of you know in the revival we're going to have one? You can have a jail ministry, and it will be absolutely, it can be absolutely blessed. And everybody that starts one prior, even if they're believing for revival, that's them. That's them, and we're not even making any comparison. We just praise God for anything that anybody's doing. We just praise God and just believe that it's as good as anything that we're doing in the sight of God. But here's the deal. You can do all those things. But the transition for the miraculous takes place in one place. If it comes by the Spirit, it's got to be passed through your spirit. And the only thing that's standing between your spirit receiving the miraculous is something called the deeds of the body. Well, that's all those things that stand in a place where you get born again and the enemy comes to rattle your cage, as in the flesh and everything. Oh, I'm ready, Pastor. I'm ready. I know you are. I know you are. You know, when you come into the kingdom, you think you're ready to just go get a switch and go bear hunting with a switch. The only thing is, wrapped up inside the deeds of the body is a whole bunch of capacities to get mad and to quit and to hurt other people or do other, you know, things we won't talk about. And you can love God and be born again and all those things still in the flesh. But aren't you glad that He gave us a dear friend? His name is the Holy Spirit, and He's been sent to pray for us in our infirmities. Hallelujah. What infirmities? The deeds of the body. Those things that keep trying to crop up and stop us. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about in verse 18 that we reckon, I think Paul was from the south, don't you? I reckon, yeah. I reckon too, Paul. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hey, I'm looking forward to that glory in the by and by, but how many are looking to see some of that here in the outpouring? And we went into the earnest expectation of creation, how that it was not willing, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope, meaning God took creation and subjected it under the fall of man. And we did that a couple of weeks ago, so you can get that tape if you don't have it. But where we were going in that was in 23 when it said, and not only they, which is italicized, it's not there in the Greek, but it is signifying not only creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Well, the first fruits of the Spirit we established was this, your born again nature. Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. To wit, O King James, means to be complete, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? For if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. So, he's just saying that we're waiting for the redemption. See, one day, the Bible calls the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then talks about the earnest expectation. But we've got the first fruits of the Spirit, which is the born again Spirit, and it's crying out. It's crying out. And not only is it crying out, you say, well, I don't hear my spirit crying out. No, when you watch all the injustices, little children showing up on TV and they can't find them, something inside of you groans and says, this isn't right. The wars and all the things that are going on, something says, this is not right. This isn't right. That's the first line. That's the first line. The second line that has been given to you on top of that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is where it says in 26, likewise the Spirit. Also, if he had not had something in prerequisite or prior rather to that, which was your born again nature, he wouldn't have said also, but he's saying there's something first and now there's something second. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, better translation, Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot, meaning you can't articulate these things. You can't make them up. You can't even dream them up. The Holy Spirit's praying. What is He praying? He's praying against those deeds of the body that are stopping you from being able to be manifest in the fullness of what God wants to get over to you spiritually. When it says that we're being changed from glory to glory in 2 Corinthians 3, when it says we're being changed from glory to glory, we're not being changed from glory to glory in our bodies. Our personalities is not the thing that he was even talking about. What he was talking about is there is a spiritual glorification that's taking place. You can go from one level of glory in your spirit to the next level, to the next level. It is a nurturing of the Holy Spirit by the Spirit that keeps growing you up. Now, it will have an effect. It will have an effect on your flesh, sure enough. But the part of you that's changing is not necessarily your soul. Your soul is, can be changed, but the thing that's going higher is your spirit. That's the part that God keeps coming to. That's the only part that He can transition over to a place where He can trust it enough to get the powers of the world to come enough that He can get revival in it. He can get revival in your spirit. And then all of the little uglies that wind up in your soul, they'll be taken care of as you go from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, he said the earnest expectation, or he said rather, and not only again, and they, verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body is this. There is coming a time where your body will be saved. It's the glorified body. Right now I've got one laid up on my account, but I don't have it yet. That's when this whole thing is done. But right now, my spirit is groaning, my born again nature. Now somebody comes along to stand with that born again nature. Verse 26, likewise the Holy Spirit. Until I get my glorified body. When I get my glorified body, you couldn't make it. You cannot make a glorified body sin. There's nothing in it that wants to sin. It doesn't have any appetites to sin. Now, you can cleanse all the strongholds out of your present body and all the uglies. You can pray and fast, meditate the Word until you get all of the capacities to really hurt somebody. You might accidentally, not on purpose, forget to say hi or for, you know, this or that and the other, but you didn't do it intentionally. Some kind of bad thought may come across your mind, something evil, but you're not gloating on it. You just cast it down and keep going. But as far as to build it up and walk in it and want it and lust over it and all that kind of stuff, you can get all that down. But as we said before, stop praying. Stop praying. Stop coming to church. Stop opening up the Word of God. You'll find out that even though you got it down to, I mean, you got it down to bare knuckles. You got it down to where it just was a Mary Poppins. I mean, it wouldn't hurt nobody. And it didn't even like, you know, I mean, the old Coppertone commercial with the, you know, the even the little baby's rear. You just, oh, yeah, I mean, you can get it right down to, you know, I mean, you don't want to even discuss anything. But stop praying. Stop. And you'll find out that there is an ingrained working. It has its own nature to it. And it has a seed process inside of it that will rejuvenate itself. And it'll come right back to where you're wanting to kill everybody. You can be born again. I quit the church. Quit the church. I'm not going back. You got to go back. She said, he said, why? She said, because I am your mother and you're the pastor of the church. Better yet, I'm your wife and you're the pastor of the church. But you know this, that you've got a glorified body. It's laid up. You couldn't get that one to sin, but we're waiting on that. Here's the infirmity, the changing process. Now, how close does he stand with us during that changing process? Oh, this is what I like. How close to the one who endeavors to get on over in that? Well, the changing process we talk about, but we don't talk about it enough. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. How does he do it? We don't know how to pray as we ought. Why? Because we'll get it all messed up. See, because when I'm angry with you, I'll spend 30 minutes in my English praying that you'll change. And the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, I've prayed him under conviction. And now you can take over and you can pray for him now. Sola bakara karesete. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm just going to let you have about 30 minutes to pray for this old fella that's don't know what he's doing. And you're going to enlighten him. And the Holy Spirit, the interpretation is this. He's praying for you. Father, disregard everything he said in the last 30 minutes. Just hear this one, because this is the only one that's really worth hearing. Change this root that's inside of him. Hallelujah. It's the perfect prayer. Hallelujah. It's the one you can trust. Hallelujah. So we know. Now, he said, he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He's just saying he knows the mind of God. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, this intercession here is, it sounds like intercession, like, oh, abrupt, I mean, groanings. And but no, it's talking about that simple edification. You're driving down the road, showering, doing whatever. There is an edification process that is, by interpretation, a light. We'd call it light because you don't feel the tears or the emotion. In fact, you can be angry. I mean, the contrast to it, you can be angry. Or your mind filled with all kinds of stuff that was a duress. And you keep praying. But it is intercession. It's changing. You say, well, I'd really like to be more spiritual in that because I'm called to be an intercessor and I really want to touch other people's lives. And listen, the greatest thing you can do if you want to be an intercessor is to spend the hours in letting the Holy Spirit pray the edification through you. Because what he's doing, he's changing you to a point that, look, I'd rather be fixed enough that all I had to say is over your life. All I had to say is Jesus. And there was enough that he was able to pass through me and bypass all of weaknesses. See, we'll think the devil even come to you and say, you know, if praying in tongues is edifying you, shouldn't you be praying for other people? Listen, he's smarter than we are. Believe me. Let him pray as long as he wants to. Because all the prayers that we normally spend in the natural, they're limited, aren't they? Because how much are they happening? I mean, you can judge. I mean, are they happening like by the time you pray them, they're just, you get up the next morning and all of it's done? Well, something's stopping them. Well, the devil, really. Well, he doesn't really have that much power. Something's stopping them. It's usually all of those places inside of us that doesn't believe enough to believe. But listen, I would rather spend 8 hours praying in tongues. Then when I get to you, if I say 2 words over you, all of heaven just hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, we know not all these good things. But this is 28. We love this. We don't really want to make fun. We just want to clarify. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to God. Now, what has he just been talking about? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. You'd have to take this totally out of, you'd have to jerk it out by roots and mean it, make it mean something that it does not say if you said, well, everything that happens to born-again Christians. You mean the cancer? Yes, because he said right there, all things. You mean the car wreck that flipped? Yes, I don't understand it. Only God will ever understand it. Listen, you'd have to just take it out and make it say that. Believe me, more preachers have done that than what. But what is he talking about? He's talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's praying for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. He searches the mind of God. Then he prays through you that mind, and it's a perfect prayer. And then we know, right in the middle of all that going on, that all this is working together for your good. It has a process in it. The more you keep praying it, it's praying out in front of you. It's praying out in front of you. And believe me, he'll prioritize things and everything most of the time. And the worst thing that you can possibly do, believe me, because I've learned through practice, is that when you do come to a place of stillness, we are by nature. We all try to doctor ourselves. We all try to discern ourselves. And we all try to fix ourselves. Please, do the Holy Spirit the greatest honor that you possibly can. Worship, pray in tongues. And then if you think that you want to present or He wants, listen, just get quiet and let Him say to you what He thinks needs to be the agenda at hand. Hallelujah. You'll lose valuable time and precious anointing going through, well, I come in here this morning, I had a 15-page checklist, and okay, Holy Spirit, are you ready? We're going to set it over to the side. In fact, He knows all about it. Give Him about 2 hours of nonstop, or an hour of nonstop, or 30 minutes, or whatever you can squeeze out of just unadulterated will and mind of God. Then listen. Chances are He won't bring up anything on that list, but what He brings up will be the things that really fix your life and really help you and get things going. Hallelujah. Are we having a good time? He says, moreover, whom He did predestinate. Well, 29, He's talking about whom He foreknew, and He's talking about the Jews in this, because this is that still that whole argument about predestination. He's talking about that He predestined all of them to be conformed to the image of His Son, which was the firstborn. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Justified, He glorified. Some are glorified already with Him. Hey, I've got mine laid up. It's coming, that glorified body. But this whole argument in chapter 8 comes down to one thing, love. Doesn't it? That's all God is about. What shall we say to these things? Because He gave this tremendous argument in 7, like, yes, yes, to the Old Testament individual that said, I don't like doing this, but I find myself wrapped up in it. He said, that's exactly right, because you had a nature that could not escape sin. But He says now, chapter 6 even, He said, sin shall not have dominion over you anymore. Why? Why? Because when He gets to chapter 8, He says there's no condemning sentences because the law, there's a new law. There's a new sheriff in town. What is it? It's the born-again nature. It replaced that flesh nature. When He said you were in the flesh, He was talking about a flesh nature. Now you don't have a flesh nature. You've got a spiritual nature. You can keep the law, not by going around quoting the law, but because the law's inside of you. Hallelujah. And now, when you get to the part where you do come up against the body, that's the part that He calls the deeds of the body. That's the part that we quote commonly call the flesh. But when He was talking about the flesh, He was talking about the nature of the flesh, or the flesh nature, rather, that was pre-Christ. But when he's talking about the deeds of the body, then in our vernacular, he is talking about the part that of us that wants to cuss the cat and be have an attitude and needs to go through a process of change and doubt and fear and all those kinds of things. That's the deeds of the body. And he said, that's what the Holy Spirit's been sent for. And that is the infirmity that you're going through. And nature itself has been squeezed under this vanity, but not willingly. But your new nature, you don't like what you see about the world, and you don't even like what you see about yourself. But guess what? Verse 26, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for your infirmities. What infirmities? I don't like this part about me. That's all right, little one. Keep praying in tongues because He's making intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered, and He's changing you from glory to glory. Hallelujah. He's changing you in this process. And so he says, okay, so we've got to this point. What shall we say? You're in a changing process. You don't like what you see. You don't like what you feel. You don't like the deeds of the body. It's a dichotomy. You've got a spirit that's righteous, but you've got a body that even if when you get it cleansed down, lay off for a couple weeks. You know, and I'm not talking about running around with a legalistic complex like, okay, I missed prayer today and yesterday, so you know, my flesh is going to cause me to fall into some massive sin. No, I'm just talking about you can prove it, but don't prove it. Don't prove it. I don't want to come get you. It'll come back. And that's why Paul said, hey, I keep my body under subjection, lest having preached to others, I become a castaway. He's like, that would be, wouldn't that be the most, you know, the worst thing ever? But here he's saying, what shall we say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. He who spared not his own son, and this is what he's talking about, he spared not his own son for this dying process. He gave you the best. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? What all things? Everything you need in the spirit to make this full journey with. Hallelujah. Nothing has been denied you to be able to get over your flesh and go from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing has been spared. And he's saying, this is the conclusion of all this fight. He said, creation's in this fight. We spell that out. The earth itself, when he talks about the creature, it's not creature. It's creature in King James, but it's creation in the Greek. He's saying the earth doesn't like the beer cans in the rivers, and it doesn't like the problem that it's under. It's groaning. It's saying, hey, when are you sons of God going to become manifest sons of God? We're going to be manifest one day. But our spirit's groaning, and where it really gets into a groaning process is when the Holy Spirit says, would you let me receive would you receive a revival? And we say, yes, Lord. And then when he says, okay, here's 15 years or 20 years of going through college because I love you, and you are righteous in your spirit, all right. But you got to learn how to die to the deeds of the body. You got to learn how to die to every kind of mechanical, diabolical scheme that Satan would bring in the days ahead. And if you'll let me, I'll pray through you and I'll pray for you, and all of it will work together for the good of those that love me and are called according to my purpose. And he says, okay, what shall we say to all this? So, okay, yes, you're in a battle. You don't like what you see around you, and you don't like yourself sometimes. Yes, you're in a battle, but what are we going to say about this? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? And he goes on to say in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He says, it is God that justifieth. Hallelujah. Meaning, little flesh creature, while you're going through this dying process, as long as you're engaged, as long as you're engaged in the process, and as long as you're not sitting on the sidelines saying, I'm just going to flesh out, you can understand this. While all this good is being worked for your good in the Spirit, you can understand this. Who is it that condemns you? It's God that justifies. Is there a justification process in this? Evidently so. He says, it is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? it's Christ that died. Well, when we get to 37, 8, and 9, he spells out quite frankly who the one is that's condemning and trying to get you to stop by the nature of condemnation and accusation. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Is it Jesus? Well, maybe if God doesn't condemn you for your weaknesses, maybe Jesus is put out with you. It's Christ that died. He's risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us. Hallelujah. We really got a real Trinity going on here. And I'm not talking about the divine Trinity. You've got the first line of defense, even if you're good, you know, fundamentalist, and you're not filled with the Spirit, your first line of defense is your born-again nature. That Spirit that is of Christ, it groans within you of the injustices. But boy, when you get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, He steps along also with that and says, okay, you Spirit, you're in the nature of Christ. You're in the case of the classification of righteousness. But I'm going to help you because you're going to cry a lot over what you see and mostly about yourself sometimes. So let me help you and let me give you a prayer language to pray you out of this. And by the way, while you're in it, I want you to know something. Your Father doesn't condemn you. He's justifying you even in your weaknesses because Christ is the one who died for you and He also, third also, He is the third member of this also. He's making intercession for you. How can we fail, really? I mean, how can you? I mean, you just got to really want to fail. You just got to make it up in your mind. I'm going to fail. You got to go around, you know, confessing. I'm going to fail. Get up and do your, you know, 18. I'm failing today. I'm failing. No. Hallelujah. He's the one that is making intercession for us. Who? Now he asks these questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I think I'll get some more on this next week. I was writing this down quickly as I was coming to the end of my prayer day today. That means a pressing place, a place of squeeze. How many have had too much fat in the flesh to squeeze through places in the Spirit? And you were trying to squeeze through there and you knew that something had to be trimmed up in the Spirit. And that's where the Holy Spirit's got us all. He's saying, look, your heart's right and I'm taking you to revival. But there's some things got to be trimmed off first. And the squeeze is being put on you. The squeeze. Hey, but look, listen, we're welcoming it. And by our own volition, we're just saying, okay, Holy Spirit, do it. Do it. If I was in a race to be comfortable, I sure would. The worst thing possible, if you want a comfortable race, don't cry out for revival. And we can go to heaven without revival. See, this is why the reward is going to be so wonderful. I don't go to heaven because of works. In fact, if I walked off from it today, some of you may hunt me down and beat me up, and I hope you did. But I'd still go to heaven as long as I didn't go back out into the world. But my God, why would we stop where we're at right now? Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution? I hope you're answering these inside of you. Famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, this is in the 44th Psalm, I think. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed. Now, what did he say? For thy sake. In fact, he get a tremendous argument there. If you read 44 Psalm, you think that David's actually like saying, God, we have kept your commandments and we're getting this done to us. And I'm thinking as I was reading that, I was thinking, boy, you're real bold. He's like, he said, we're this is happening, that's happening, and we have not transgressed. But what does he say here? He says, for thy sake, we're killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. He didn't even accuse. He said, look, we're in a race. God, because we're going to go into you, something's got to take place. There is a dying process. And the only one that can squeeze me through it is the Holy Spirit. He's got to pray for my infirmities. But you might as well know this, that He's telling you this. While you're going through this dying process, how long do you think it'll last? Well, probably till you die. But guess what? Here's your happy thought for the day. While you're in it, as long as you're engaged in it, I mean truly engaged in it, and it's not smack talk to you, you got to know this, as even while there's parts of you that are still in a process of change, you better know this. It's not your Father that condemns. It's not Christ that condemns. It's not either one of those. He tells you this. He tells you the one that's saying the things that make you sometimes feel like, oh, why don't we just quit because we're not making any progress. Nay, in all these things, verse 37, we're more. I read that out of the Greek today. It says, we're over conquerors. Over conquerors. These are the words that went along with it. Exceeding, excess, and even exaggerated. In this process, if we engage in this process, we will not toe the line to where that we're survivors with white knuckles. We are in excess of victory. Glory to God. He wants you to not only know that He's proud of you, even in your little weak self sometimes, but He wants you to feel like an overcomer beyond words that can be explained. Hallelujah. Righteous people need to feel righteous. Glory to God. Nay, in all these things we're over conquerors. Now this few words here I'll try to pronounce. I'll get better as I read them next week because I jotted them down this week. It said, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors, over conquerors, exceeding excess, exaggerated conquerors. Through Him that loved us, for I am persuaded. What are you persuaded of, Paul? That neither death nor life, not even the departure by death, nor living in this life, nor angels. How many of you remember Ephesians 6? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Sounds like the same. Nor angels. Now he's just made this argument. God's not condemning you. Christ's not condemning you for this dying process that he's making intercession for you. Then he goes on to say, who has the capacity? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or powers or things present or even things to come. Hallelujah. He's still naming, nor height. Hupsomo, somo, height. It's a high place, a lofty tower, a fortress built proudly, or a lofty, proud tower. What he's saying is, no matter what kind of fortress, what kind of height, he's talking about this warfare that's engaged against your change, no matter what height of citadel, fortress the enemy can try to bring into existence or by past association has brought along with your salvation, it cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, height nor depth, bathos, B-A-T-H-O-S, means greatness, depth, profoundness, abstruseness, the depth, the deep thing. And it even said this, it said the deep thing, the deep things are the secret purposes of Satan. No height that he can build, create around you, even by your own weaknesses, if you continue to engage in the process, no depth, as in secret, diabolical, undercover, stealth, putting it together for your demise, no depth. And it said that in the Greek. It said, no secret thing of Satan can separate you from the love of God. That is so good. He can't come up with a plan. That if you keep praying in the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit will pray you out of your flesh and He'll pray you on into the things of God. Hallelujah. I like this. Height, depth. He's naming spiritual forces here in essence. Height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now when He says this, able to separate us, Soutis, P-S-E, U accented, T-S, long E-S. It's the word for separate, and it means to lie. It just means to lie. And it says this, one false towards God, one telling lies. If He said Jesus isn't accusing you, God's not accusing you, who's trying to separate you? The one telling lies. You're not changing. Who's accusing you? The one telling lies to you and saying, stop the process because it's not going to work. God says, it is working. And I don't care what He says about you. As long as you're engaged in the process, it is God that justifieth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Who shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Shall powers, principalities? You got to understand this. Even in combat warfare, listen. There was a discussion about this, and this is not a correction. This is only a clarification. Even if 1,000 voodoo people got together and had one convention, and they all got together and did all kinds of incantations and everything that possible they wanted to levy against you. Just because somebody comes against you, calls out your name, or tries to do anything secretly against you, does not mean by any means they can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Just because they'll go and do a favor. I mean, you could sacrifice 100 kids to one. That doesn't give them... Listen, I can sit here in this auditorium and praise God all night. That doesn't make Him more powerful. He is who He is. It brings me to a closer place in Him. You can do all kind of diabolical things all over the neighborhood. That doesn't make Satan more powerful. It only empowers his life in you and makes his evil more apparent in you. Now a spirit will go down... A spirit will certainly, you can get a spirit, they can get spirits to come after you or try to stop something that they're wanting, that you know, that God is doing. Spirits will do favors for witch doctors and witches and all kinds of things like that. Sure they will. They'll do anything they can. But you got to know this, even when they go to do a favor, even when they go to do a favor and they're on an assignment, just because they're on an assignment doesn't empower them to get any more done to you than what they could if they just saw you randomly on the street and decided to come at you and get something done against you just because you were walking into revival. Now, they may have an assignment and they may come with a veracity like, okay, I'm on an assignment, I'm going to do a favor for this one. They may come like that. And it's good to be able to discern things in the Spirit and know when things are working. So the Holy Spirit will give you a divine word and you can say, okay, I'm not going to let this thing come because we're in a warfare. That's for sure. But you got to understand something. Just because there is an assignment that's targeted at you, hey, that doesn't give them more power. They can only get over and on you more. They can only get more across if you let them. If you let them. What can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Well, they're just a baby. Listen, you can be. And I know there's a great warfare going on. And that's why it's important to be real keen in the Spirit. But, listen, whether they're sent by somebody or not sent by somebody, they're going to come at you because you're on a walk into revival. And it wouldn't matter if they're sent or not sent. They can't get any more done or across on you than what they could if somebody sent them or didn't send them. You're going to be walking free based on your walk in Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're a one, like let's say you were born again yesterday. Well, the devil come at them and they just were ignorant. And listen, this way is so designed that if you'll go by the inner witness, you're just stepped out of the nursery. Goo, goo, gaga. All I can just, I just got born again yesterday and I got tongues tonight. Listen, it didn't matter if all of hell came. What can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? It just cannot separate you. It is. He's so divinely given the victory to that new nature that even with all of Satan's diabolical schemes, he cannot devise something so deep or so high that he'll be able to separate you. You have to willingly give yourself over. And who's willing when you keep praying the mysteries? Hallelujah. So, Lord, we are thanking You. It is Your Word that is our stance of doctrine, truth. And we've not arrived, but we are asking more and more for the light. Correct us. Correct us by Your Word and bring us into more and more of Your glory. We love You, Jesus. I give You praise. Hallelujah.